Hey everyone, it's Tawny and Lisa with Recovery Rocks, and we are super excited to announce a new collaboration with our sponsor, Sober Dating. It is literally a dating app called Sober Dating.
It could not be easier.
It really couldn't be any easier. And to make it even cooler, you guys have an amazing opportunity to pre-order the app. The first 1,000 pre-orders get 6 months free membership with Sober Dating.
That is so fantastic.
And so you guys can head to the link in our show notes to learn more about how to pre-order. It's super easy to do. Lisa and I just did it, and we are so excited to be part of the Sober Dating movement.
Things I wish were available 17 years ago.
Exactly, but they're available now. So head to our show notes to learn more about Sober Dating and follow them at sober_dating.
Hey everybody, welcome. I'm Lisa, and here as ever with...
Hello, it is Tawny.
Today we want to talk about a topic that can easily get confused, that a lot of people have questions about at times, and that is the language and the words that we choose around sobriety, recovery, whatever it is, harm reduction, all kinds of words that we use that can sometimes come across as conveying one thing when intending another. And we want to dig a little bit into that today. Tawny, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm a total linguistics nerd, and you and I are both writers. So we are personally obsessed with words. And as someone, as people who, you know, we're in long-term recovery, and we keep seeing, you know, there's these new words that are kind of popping up, and they can be confusing to people that are just not, like, you and I are very plugged into like the social media world, and maybe someone who's not obsessed like I am may not be super up to the latest jargon, if you will. I thought it would be fun to kind of dive into that and maybe be like, we could kind of nerd out on some words here and talk about what certain words mean in the context of recovery. And on the topic of language, we want to also give another shout out to our sponsor, Sober Dating, which is an amazing sober dating app. And something really cool and unique about this app is that they honor the fact that there's so many different reasons to not drink alcohol. So, you know, you can check why you don't drink. If it's for, you know, if you're in recovery is an option, if it's for religious purposes. And, you know, they call this their sober badges. So when you're looking at these dating profiles and you see, you know, X badge, you know, okay, this person's not drinking for religious reasons. And I think that's such an interesting feature, because I'm so used to, you know, just like the Tinder, Bumble, Hinge of the world. And to have this app that's totally catered to that sort of language is really cool.
I think that's totally right. I think that the language that we use frequently in, you know, we have people come into recovery, like you said, you know, for all kinds of reasons, or people are sober, meaning, and right there, two words, right? We think of, you and I think of sober as meaning abstaining from mind-altering substances. And we think of, or at least I do, in the 12-step space, think of recovery as a program of recovery. So for me, my recovery involves the 12 steps, but your recovery does not. And that doesn't mean you're not in recovery, right? You know, but that's something that I see a lot, and not just in social media, but in press articles all around, that, you know, what is sober? What is recovery? And I think one of the things that's important to remember is that it's no one thing for anybody. You know, it doesn't have to be. It is what it means to you in the sense of those big terms. But maybe we want to talk a little bit more about some of the kind of more specialized than the overarching there.
Yeah, definitely. And I have a little list here. You know me, I love lists.
I love it.
And So I thought, let's just, shall we just go down this list and just talk about what the words mean?
Yeah.
Or at least what they mean to us and in like the media and just this vastly expanding landscape of like sober being a cool thing, like so sobriety being a trendy topic. So let's start with sober curious.
Yes.
So sober curious, our dear friend and fellow sobriety advocate, Ruby Warrington, who wrote the book, literally wrote the book on this, called Sober Curious. She also has a podcast called Sober Curious. And so to me, my biggest takeaway from the term sober curious is what I think Ruby did a really good job of. She found this large group of people that didn't feel seen in the 12-step community, and they didn't, but they're also like, they don't want to go to meetings, but they also don't want to party with their friends anymore. So they're just like, where do I fit? And Ruby called that sober curious because that's what she was. And once she started using that term, so many people identified with it. And now it's just, it's become bigger than her. And it's an actual phrase that people use.
Yes, yes. And I think of it in an even more expansive way. I think of it also as people who are not sure, but maybe I want to be sober. Maybe I want to see what it feels like to do Dry July or some other recovery challenge. I'm curious about what it might be like to feel sober. And I think of that fitting under the umbrella of sober curious as well. Somebody who is, you know, not saying, okay, I am, you know, I have got to stop. I'm going to stop. I'm going to, you know, do it this way, that way, whatever. But saying, I'm interested in how I might feel and how my life might be better if I decide to put down booze for a while.
Yeah, that's the perfect way to explain it. And it's, she really, Ruby really just, I think she's helping people.
Yes.
With this, if you just look at her, you know, her platform, you look at the, you know, her book reviews on Amazon, it's just people that are like, finally, someone talking about this, like making it approachable where, you know, it's, and I'm so glad that she did it and that it's, that there's a word for it. So like Lisa's saying, it's people, sober curious is people that are maybe they do Dry January, maybe they do Sober October, maybe they're just, you know, starting to examine their behavior when they drink. It could look different for so many people, but it really just means you're curious about sobriety.
Yeah. And I mean, I think for me, 17 years ago, when I came into recovery, there was no such term. It was either you're, you know, sober in 12 step or you're not. And there was no sort of kind of way to kind of wade into that, you know, in the shallow end of the pool, check it out and see if you were ready and wanting the deep end kind of thing. You know, that wouldn't have been welcome. And now I just think it's so important because how many people is it opening up the idea of, let me check this out and see if maybe this is for me. I have doubts about how my relationship with a substance, but I'm not ready to say, you know, I'm done and I'm going to do this, you know, complete change instead. I want to just, you know, see how what this feels like and what it's like. And I just think so many more people, once it's not an all or nothing proposition, it just is a much more welcoming place. And I actually think that that's a big reason why sobriety recovery has become so much more trendy than it was when I got sober, is because it's not a label. It's not a thing that, you know, you're saying yes to something and no to something else, you know, with the intention of never changing that. So, yeah, I think it's been a real gift to the community.
It really is. And it's approachable. That gift has made it approachable. And so the next word, our next phrase is, I feel like the big sister of sober curious, gray area drinking.
Yes.
So that was coined by another recovery advocate called, like I'm British, Jolene Park. who she did a TED talk on gray area drinking. She has an entire program on the concept of gray area drinking that, to me, I think, like I said, it's just kind of a step up from sober curious. Maybe it's like, okay, you're sober curious, but then it's like, now what am I going to do about it?
Somewhere in
between. Is that, what do you think?
Well, first of all, Jolene is, you can find her, her website is healthydiscoveries.com, and she has an amazing sort of 30-day, you know, try it out and do some coaching with her and some, you know, 30-day program, you know, to see how it fits. And I think of gray area drinking is where someone is saying, I don't like that I feel like I need to drink at the end of the day, or I don't like that I turn to alcohol to kind of numb out, or, you know, I think of it a lot for whatever reason, maybe I'm sure it's because of it's the world I come from, but like in terms of like lawyers, you know, saying at the end of a crazy day, I need, you know, I feel like that idea of I need a drink as opposed to I want a drink becomes relevant. And I don't like that that's my go-to. I'm tired of waking up hungover, maybe not feeling the way I want to. But at the same time, I very much do not feel that I have crossed a line beyond which I can drink safely. I don't know that right now. And that gray area drinking and Jolene's program does help you explore that.
Yeah, that's perfect. And fun fact, she was at my very first readings on recovery, which I was honored. So if listeners, I had a reading series called Readings on Recovery, where people would read, you know, read something they wrote about their recovery journey. And Lisa was part of that. She was on the first panel and Jolene was in the audience. She just happened to be in New York. And I was just so honored to see her there. It was so cool.
She's wonderful.
She's great. Definitely check out her work. Okay, so the next one is AF.
Yes.
So, which is, you know, interesting because AF kind of has two meanings now. You know, like colloquially, we're using it in internet jargon as fuck.
Yes.
But in the sobriety space, it's now being used as alcohol free. So,
but we like, using it as fuck before.
Yes.
Don't you think? Like when first started using sober AF, you meant as fuck, right? Yeah, that's when my niece and nephew, who were teenagers, were like, really, Aunt Lisa, AF, really?
Well, and now we're seeing, you know, AF drinks.
Yes.
You know, AF bars, AF drink menu, and
meaning
meaning alcohol free. So that's like really new, like super new. That I was very confused at first because I was like, what are as fuck drinks? I don't understand what this is.
I was the same way.
But it's alcohol free. So on that note, we're also going to talk about zero proof, which means literally zero proof drinks. So there's, you know, this amazing group of people, our friends Laura Silverman and Chris Marshall. They started Zero Proof Nation. Follow them on Instagram. It's an Instagram and a website that's dedicated to non-alcoholic drinks. So if you're looking for a bar, if you're looking for a beer, a wine, a liquor, anything that is zero proof, Laura and Chris have you covered. They have literally everything. And Chris also, he owns a booze-free bar in Austin. We did an episode with him about a year ago, if you want to go back and listen to that. And we also did an episode on booze-free drinks in general, like a whole episode on our favorite non-alcoholic drinks.
I will also add that I have been amazed at how many places I go to now where on the cocktail menu, I look at it, you know, just to see if places do it. And if they do, I support it and order one, but have an entire zero proof section, which is new. And I know we've talked about that a lot with coming out of the pandemic and the fact that, you know, all restaurants, bars can be venues, you know, music venues, whatever, can be much more inclusive places simply by stocking zero proof ingredients.
Truly. I went to one of my friend's comedy shows at the Bell House in Brooklyn, and I was shocked that they had Heineken zero proof. I was so excited. I was like, I'm seen. They're acknowledging that there's people here that still go out and socialize and want something to drink that's not water. I'll pay full price. I will pay $8 for this non-alcoholic beer because I want it. You know, like, I'm so glad that we're headed into that space.
Yeah, it takes us from a place of sort of deprivation to a place of inclusion, which again talks, you know, speaks to the fact that, like we said with Sober Curious, it just opens these options up to so many more people.
It really does. And like we said a minute ago, there's so many reasons to not drink that there's, you know, whether you're in recovery or not, maybe you're pregnant, maybe you have a health issue that you can't, that, you know, inhibits you from drinking alcohol.
Maybe you just don't feel like it that night.
Or you just don't drink. You know, like there's restaurants that are, they were losing money by not having these options because it's like, we're either going to get a water or we'll get a $12 mocktail. Like if you provide it, we will actually spend that money. But if you're not offering it, you're losing $12.
That's right. That's right.
I could stand on that soapbox forever. So I think I'm going to transition into harm reduction. So we also did an episode. I feel like this is kind of like a greatest hits.
I know. I like it though.
It's cool. So harm reduction, we did an episode recently with our friend Jen, who is an incredible advocate and does so much work in for the harm reduction community. So Lisa, what does harm reduction mean?
Harm reduction to me means, you know, very much, I consider Jen my go-to on this also. And she is on social at Resurrection with K of Me. And she's an incredible advocate. And I think of it as, look, I'm not either in a position to, you know, be sober or to follow a conventional program. I am somebody who is using drugs, which is not, you know, taking the stigma away from that. She does a lot of work with the unhoused and saying that there is this population that needs to be thought of in our broader kind of recovery space, whereas we support not just things that are leading to complete abstinence, but also things that are really harm reduction, that are clean needles, that are, you know, support for those who are, you know, living in the streets, that are facing various challenges and not thinking that they are somehow less worthy of support than the rest of us in this space. That harm reduction is a real piece of addressing overall substance use disorders.
No, you're absolutely right. And it, I mean, it's quite literally what it says. It's reducing harm. So it's acknowledging that drugs are often harmful to the body. And it's a very realistic and progressive approach to having that conversation of like, people are going to be using needles to inject drugs. And how can we make that as safe as possible to reduce the harm?
Right. So, while trying to provide the additional support that perhaps that person needs in order to move away from drugs.
Exactly. So like, you know, another word in that umbrella would be like Lisa mentioned, the needle exchange program. So that is where people can go, often that are people that are unhoused can go and exchange used needles for new clean needles. So there, that means that there's less intravenous things being passed person to person. It seems like a no-brainer. It makes so much sense. So if you're curious to learn more about harm reduction and needle exchange, definitely check out our episode with Jen. It wasn't that long ago. I feel like it was maybe maybe 10 episodes ago, if
that. It was not long ago.
She's so informed on the topic of harm reduction.
And active. She's a real advocate.
She is. Okay, so the next one, this is something I made up a couple years ago. I called it alt-sober, like alternative sober.
Yes.
And I posted it on Instagram a couple years ago, just kind of playing around, and it took off. And I see a lot of people now using hashtag alt sober. So to me, it means...
You are a groundbreaker, a trailblazer.
I'm just putting weird stuff out there. And some
you like
people,
words.
I love words. I'm a total word nerd. So to me, I came up with this word after reading Amy Poehler's book, Yes, Please, because she defined her comedy as like, there was like, she was in the alt comedy scene. So I read that in early sobriety. And to me, that it kind of felt like the scene that I was in New York City. It's kind of like the alt sober scene of like, you know, Ruby's sober curious community, my sobriety parties and readings on recovery. And it just seemed like this alternative sober space. And so I just started using that, and it took off, and people felt represented by the term, because it's typically people that are not 12 step, people that are finding alternative ways to get sober.
And this is one of these words that can mean something different to different people, right? Because when I think of alt sober, I think more of what we talk about as California sober frequently, right? Mm-hmm. Which is maybe that somebody is not using, and you tell me what it means to you, because the way I think of California sober is somebody is not drinking alcohol, but maybe they are still or choosing to whatever, which is fine, smoking pot or something else, some other substance, but that they have decided that alcohol and what alcohol specifically does is for them is not going to work for them. They don't want it, but they are not choosing to make that decision about other mind-altering substances. Is that, what do you think about what is that to you, California sober?
Yeah. And it's, I like that you mentioned that these words can mean different things to different people, because that's just how it is. Yeah. To me, California sober, I think literally means smoking weed, but not doing other things.
Yeah. I guess that's what I mean. Yeah. It really is to me. In my mind, it's about weed. Yeah.
It's more, that's what it means to me. But I know there's also, you know, there's a large population, or maybe a growing population of sober people that still use psychedelics occasionally. Mm-hmm. And because for them, psychedelics may not have been a problem. Their problem might have been heroin or alcohol or something else, but they're able to take mushrooms once a year and have a mind expanding personal growth type experience. And there's some people that say, well, that's not sober. You're not sober if you're doing stuff like that. But to some people, they're not using it in I want to get fucked up way. They're using it in almost as a spiritual tool.
Right.
So I feel like that also classifies as California sober or alt sober.
Yeah, I do too. And I think that this is one of the things where these terms of whatever, it's important to have a way to still relate to it as sober, you know, as like, you know, your recovery and your sobriety are what they are to you. Because if you're telling me that I like to, you know, go out in the desert and, you know, once, twice, quarterly, whatever, take psychedelics, and that is a mind expanding experience, and yet I have chosen not to drink because I find alcohol destructive to me, I don't want to exclude that person from the community, right? By saying that there's, you know, you're somehow, you know, you broke a rule and therefore you know, you're that doesn't work. For me personally, I could not do that. I think it's a very personal choice, but I don't want to define it for somebody else.
Well, and I think that's what sets you apart from so many people that are 12 step is because a lot of people that come from 12 step, from my experience, tend to be very rigid in the rules and don't even want people taking antidepressants. Like, so
dangerous.
It is dangerous, but it's, I think the irony is like these people are preaching no antidepressants, but they're like drinking pots of coffee. And, you know, like caffeine is an addictive drug too.
Smoking a lot of cigarettes.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot I can say about that, but I'll stop.
Yeah. So, yeah. I think it goes back into 12 steps, you know, being a much older program, a much, much different time, place, you know, origin, all of that. But yeah, I am just very, and for my 12 step program, you know, I'm sober, but I don't want to tell somebody else that they can't do what they choose to do. And that somehow, you know, makes them feel like they are not part of a community and supported in trying to live a healthier life and not suffer and struggle.
Exactly. And like we mentioned earlier, I feel like these new words are helping build a bridge. Whereas, like, and especially with, you know, the increasing legalization of marijuana has, you know, that's complicating some things because, you know, there's people that are in recovery from heroin abuse, but they can drink alcohol, have a glass of wine a week. Alcohol may not have been their problem, you know? So that same logic applies to people who, you know, like I'm sober from drugs and alcohol. But I could probably see myself maybe, you know, doing psychedelics at some point because that was never a problem for me. Mm-hmm. Or even like I would much rather use medicinal marijuana than take a painkiller.
Because
I had an issue. I had a true addiction to opioids. So I would much rather use medical marijuana. So to me, I feel like that falls under Cali sober, harm reduction,
right?
Alt sober.
And listen, if a doctor prescribed to me, and I, you know, like I said, my whole thing has been like, I feel like I am a 12 step person, need to be, want to be, I'm committed to being in 12 step. One of the things in 12 step is that we are not doctors. If my doctor tells me to take a pain, you know, an opioid for some sort of pain, you know, after a surgery or something like that. And I have no qualms taking that opioid as prescribed by my doctor, not beyond that, but as prescribed by my doctor. And if my doctor said to me, I think that in this case, opioids can be dangerous for you, I'm going to prescribe you medical marijuana, I would do that too, you know, and I just think that that is something that has evolved. I haven't been faced with that, and I don't know how I would feel about that if it actually happened, but I certainly do not rule it out. I mean, marijuana is medicinal to many people in a much less dangerous and much more effective way than opiates. Yet I would take opiates tomorrow as prescribed if the doctor said that. So it's evolving.
And I feel like if starting tomorrow, if everyone who binge drinks, if they switched to weed, I think the world would be a much better place.
You have to change some of the driving laws though, because boy, I see a lot of people driving high out here.
Totally, totally. I know that's like, I'm just kind of like talking out of my ass here, but I really think that.
No, I don't think you're wrong.
When I was smoking weed, I was a peaceful, happy person. Versus when I was binge drinking. I mean, that's just for me, but you know, it's so different. So I'm glad that we're in this space of evolution with words that are representing how the community is expanding and changing.
Exactly.
So with that, can we close it on some AA jargon or 12 step jargon?
Sure.
So maybe like, I feel like the classic one day at a time is, yes. I feel like that has just left the 12-step community because it's so universal to everything. Like, everyone uses that now.
Yeah. And I'll tell you why I think that is. First of all, when I got sober, it was on the wall at my first meeting. It said one day at a time. And I remember looking at that and going, shit, is this really what I signed up for? Like, I got to do that. Oh my God. Like, what a joke, one day at a time. Like, anybody doesn't live one day at a time. It became the thing that saved my ass more times than not. On rough days, on days where I was literally kicking the walls in my apartment because I was so like jacked up and wanted a drink but was like fighting through it, I would say, all I got to do is get my head to the pillow tonight. It's just today. It's just today. It's just for today. And even now, 17 years later, I say just for today. That's all it is. And why I think it's really caught on, you know, we say yesterday's over and tomorrow will take care of itself. That's sort of, you know, but it is about staying in the present moment and knowing in the present moment you're okay. And I think with the increase of people who have gotten into meditation and mindfulness and being present in the moment, I think that's why one day at a time, in particular of all the slogans, has really caught on, because there are so many more people who are, they're not in 12 step, but they practice meditation. They are, you know, all sober, they are doing sober curious, they're doing whatever they are, but they're trying to be in today, in this moment, not spinning out about some hypothetical that, you know, may or may not ever, you know, happen, and not dwelling on the past, like we talked about last week. So I think that is, one day at a time literally means all I have to deal with, all I can deal with is today and what's right in front of me now. And a good way that I have been able to bring that, something my sponsor said to me all the time, and it always comes to me, and I say it to my sponsees, where are your feet? When I'm spinning out, when I'm feeling like whatever, and I'm getting caught up in my head, where are your feet? And I literally look down at my feet and say, I'm here, my feet are on the floor, I haven't picked up a drink, I'm safe, I am not, you know, I'm in my house, it's all okay. It's all okay. So that's what I think about. What do you think about with ODAAT?
Yeah. I mean, you explained it perfectly. And we talked about this before, like how we were actually giving that advice to people at the beginning of the pandemic. Like we talked about how people in recovery all kind of were preparing for this, where yes. It's like, you know, we had friends that are not necessarily sober that are struggling, and I'm telling them one day at a time, like we're just, you know, we're all going through this together. And that's advice that I give to anyone, like someone who's going through chemo, someone who's going through a breakup, someone who's just life,
yeah,
you know,
anything, life. Anything.
And it's
getting
often,
through a challenge at work, getting through anything. Yeah, I mean, it's all that you can do. And it, to me, it goes hand in hand with the idea of that my sponsor always share with me, which is 10% of life is what happens and 90% is how I react to it. And that goes for what goes on in my head, in my body, in, you know, my actions, all of that. So
can you tattoo that onto me, please? Maybe on my forehead?
It's true, though. It's true.
It is. And it's, you know, oftentimes one day at a time. Sometimes to me, it's 1 hour at a time, 1 minute at a time, because it's
absolutely
like life is really, really freaking hard.
Yes.
It is. Yes. So like, I feel like our last word or our last term can be life on life's terms.
Yes. Life on life's terms to me is another big one from 12 step that I hold tight to. When things don't go the way I want, you know, it is, again, it all goes back. And for me, that's why acceptance and gratitude have been the two biggest topics that changed my life in 12 step. Accepting, you know, we know the serenity prayer, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Figuring out what I can change and accepting what I can't change has made a huge difference. And what that means, what that leads to, is living life on life's terms, saying, I'm not driving this bus. I can't control what everybody else does. Whether it, for me, I feel like it's the universe, my higher power that, you know, helps me. I'm very much a higher power person. But for somebody else, it doesn't have to be about higher power. It can just be like accepting that this is life on life's terms. This is what life has dealt us. And now let's figure out how to make, you know, deal with that 90% of what I can't, what, you know, how I react to it.
Absolutely. And it's like living life one day at a time.
Yes.
Because life is going to happen on life's terms.
That's right. That's right. You summed it up perfectly.
And however you go through that, whether you're sober, sober curious, in recovery, alt sober, Cali sober, practicing harm reduction.
It's all good.
It's all good. Exactly. Whatever works for you, whatever your program is, and you feel good about it, amazing. And you have our blessing, because our blessing is so important.
Yes. And everything is just for today. So do you have a music minute?
I was hoping you had a music minute.
I don't actually.
No. Okay, perfect.
So I have been in a big, you know, I always am sort of stuck in the 80s kind of whatever. And I thought of No More Words by Berlin. Do you remember the band? Do you know the band Berlin?
I do know the band Berlin. Take My Breath Away.
Oh my God, that's the worst. No, you got to listen to the Metro. I hated the deep Take cuts. My Breath Away.
Oh, I know. That's how, because you're a true fan. You hate the commercial songs.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I hate ballads in general is my problem.
Okay.
That has always been an issue. I don't know why it is, but ballads have never been like my favorite. But yeah, that it's No More Words and No More Promises of Love. So
that makes me think of More Than Words by Extreme.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And what about the, and I think it's just called Words or What Are Words For by Missing Persons.
Oh, I like that. Now that's that's going like right into, you know, like late 80s, early 90s, right?
Yeah. That's, what is Dale Bozzio.
Oh my gosh. You are
If you're listening, if you're listening and you don't know who Dale Bozzio is, you need to Google this amazing human and you will understand. She actually sued Lady Gaga for one of her album covers.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, your music just spans time. It's amazing. I love it.
Well, and I love you. And I love words. Thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. And for more from us, you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social at Girl Walks Out. Tawny, how can we find you?
You can find me literally everywhere, Lisa. My social media is Tawny M. Lara. My website is tawnylara.com. And we want to give a huge shout out to our sponsor, Sober Dating. Don't forget to pre-order and get your 6 months free to use this amazing Sober Dating app that's literally called Sober Dating. And we also just want to remind you, it's super helpful if you can rate and subscribe, leave any comments, let us know how the podcast resonates with you. Thank you so much.
We always love to hear from you. Yes. See you all again soon.